This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The 2-2 swing and a miss, strike three. The Pirates threaten, but Arrieta strikes out Tyler Anderson to end the inning. Pirates leave the maximum. We go to the third.
Well, that was the thing. That was Jake Arrieta doing sort of Jake Arrieta stuff and then rebounding to be Jake Arrieta from 2015, 2016. So that's what he did, and he got through it, and he was, I think he enhanced his reputation on that pitching staff, and if that's possible, because he just looks so, he looks so big, he looks so Arrieta. There's such an Arrieta-ness about him, whatever he does. I'm Steve Rosen, he's Mark Grody, welcome back. Yes, what? Huh?
He wasn't, and I know we got a guest coming, but he wasn't particularly dominant, Steve. I mean, that was... It was a hard six, man.
But then he was. He didn't give up. I mean, it was a weird kind of thing. And we're lucky enough to have our own Jake Arrieta reporter. We got the pregame rundown last week from Megan Montemurro of the East Tribune because she followed him in Philadelphia and now followed him to report on him over here at the Cubs for the Tribune. And she joins us now on the Score Hotline brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. Megan, thanks for coming back on. So now, recap Jake Arrieta for us. What was that? And was it with the soft contact, but then no control? And it's sort of like it was all over the snow globe with him.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for him was that, you know, he got through those six innings despite not having good stuff. I mean, he basically said after the game that it was pretty much a battle the entire day, and, you know, he didn't have his best stuff with his pitches, and, you know, when that happens, you have to find a way to get through it, and I think that's the value in having, like, someone like him on the staff. You know, he's a veteran. He, you know, these past couple years in Philadelphia, he had to find ways to be successful, even if, you know, things weren't going his way, whether it was health-related or performance-related. And so there is value having that kind of experience on the staff. And I think you saw that on Thursday with his start that, you know, even though he wasn't his best, he still put the team in position to win. And ultimately, you know, the offense did enough. And obviously Craig Kimbrell stepped up big there too. And, you know, those are the kind of games you have to win if you're the Cubs.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible that was. I would never have guessed that was Craig Kimbrell's first five out save, and he did it well. I mean, he comes in and he cleans up a bases loaded situation to strike out Duster Fowler and Wilmer Defoe. So, and then a 1-2-3 ninth inning. He's been spectacular. Why has Craig Kimbrell been so good so far this year?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, I know there were some worries in spring when he was kind of looking like the old version at times, but, you know, he really has got his fastball ironed out, and that is such obviously a huge pitch for him as a guy who only throws two pitches. You know, if you don't have your fastball working, you know, that puts a lot of stress on his curveball, but he's been able to consistently elevate that pitch. I was looking at his heat map the other day, and he is consistently hitting it up in the zone. He's going outside and lower in on righties and pounding it inside against lefties, and that combination is just so hard for hitters. And then you have his curveball, which he's been throwing the most of his career pretty much to open the season. He's at like a 55-45 split. So, you know, throwing the secondary pitch, you know, 45% of the time is keeping other hitters honest. They can't sit on fastball, even if they know it's coming. The way he's been able to elevate it and command it has made it tough on hitters anyways. But, you know, I think it's pretty remarkable going back to the beginning of last September, you know, he hasn't walked a batter in that span, and he struck out 22 hitters in that stretch. So, I mean, he's really on a roll right now, and I think you see how much better that bullpen is when you know David Ross has a guy like that that can be the anchor at the end, that can come in the eighth inning if needed and get him out of a jam, and it really just changes the whole dynamic they have.
Our guest is Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune. She covers the Cubs. We're talking Cubs baseball here on The Score. Megan, we've heard, I guess it depends your point of view, your slant, whether you want to call them excuses for the Cubs sucking on offense or reasons for the Cubs sucking on offense. And Javi Baez's lack of video last year and whatever else they want to offer, how are you balancing that, determining what sounds like an excuse or what's a reason? And what should Cub fans think of an offense they've heard called broken and has seen this team regress year after year, both in offense and ability to win the World Series? How are you balancing that?
I think one of the main things that's so hard from last year, good or bad, to really gauge what is accurate for players, you know, hitters or pitchers. It was such a small sample size. It was such a weird season between, you know, spring training, getting put on pause, and then the layoff for 3 months, and then you had that kind of quick ramp up to the start of the season. I think it makes it really challenging to see what is real and what wasn't from that year until you kind of have a bigger sample size from this year. So in terms of when you look at, you know, the Cubs offense, I don't think we really know what they are yet. And I understand why Cubs fans would be frustrated, because obviously the offensive issues extend beyond the 2020 season. It goes back further than that. But, you know, I think you're seeing glimpses of, you know, what some guys can do. You know, if I'm a Cubs fan, I would be really encouraged by, you know, what Chris Bryant has done so far to start the season. You know, his approach has been really good. He's hitting extra bases. He's drawing walks. It's definitely the kind of stuff that you would expect to see from him. And so I think in that situation right there, that's something that, you know, maybe that jump starts the rest of the offense when you have one of your key guys, you know, locked in. So it'll be interesting to see kind of over the next week or two, you know, what this offense looks like coming off the road trip. I definitely think they have to take advantage of playing, you know, the Pirates. They're clearly one of the worst teams in baseball. And so if you're the Cubs, you need to beat up on these teams and really kind of, you know, get your rhythm off of playing teams of this caliber.
Yeah, I mean, and especially today, they go up against a guy in Mitch Keller who, in his first outing, threw a 31-pitch first inning. The Cubs came out. There was a game plan in that on the Thursday game by David Ross, come out and swing the damn bats. And I would expect, Megan, that there'll be more of that today, right?
Yeah, and I think, too, if you're looking for something that the offense, you know, has been building on. I mean, they've been, you know, forcing pitchers, you know, for the most part, to throw a lot of pitches, even if they're not eventually cashing in with hits. You know, it seems like their approach generally has been pretty good through the first week of the season. So, you know, from their perspective, if you stick with that, eventually you have to believe those hits are going to come. And I think it would be more concerning if, you know, you saw that, you know, the Cubs are among the bottom in terms of how many pitches they're seeing per plate appearances. But especially that top half of the lineup, you know, they've been pretty good in forcing pitchers to make them work to get them out. So it'll be interesting to see if they, you know, continue that approach. And, you know, Mitch Keller was a guy who struggled to locate the last time he faced the Cubs. So it'll be interesting to see if they use that approach and are trying to be more patient, or, as you said, if they really go out there and try and attack and be aggressive.
Our guest is Megan Montemurro. She covers the Cubs for the Tribune. That's what we're discussing here on The Score. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody with you. So I happen to be this person who holds his breath every time Zach Davies goes to the mound for the Cubs, because I just don't know. I just don't trust it. I just think, oh, my goodness, he's going to be found out even by a minor league team like the Pirates. And I don't know if that's fair or not. What would you say?
I mean, I don't think he would be at this point in his career. I mean, you know, obviously he's been on a couple of different teams, but he generally has had, you know, pretty good big league success. And I don't think you could have that if you weren't good. And I think part of it, what is difficult in watching him, is you see his stuff and you're like, okay, he's throwing 87. How is this guy getting big league hitters out? But, you know, he's really good at commanding his stuff. You know, when he is healthy and on, I mean, he's thrown almost 200 innings in a season one time in his career. You know, he's generally been a pretty reliable pitcher, which is maybe hard to believe watching him work, but there are certainly similarities between him and Kyle Hendricks in the sense of, you know, he really relies on his command to be successful. And obviously if he has a start where that's not working, then yeah, it could be a rough day for him. But generally speaking, I mean, he's been a pretty reliable starter over his career. I mean, he has only had one season in his seven big league years in the majors where he's had an ERA over four. So he's generally a starter you can rely on. So it'd be interesting to see if he can kind of continue to build off what he showed in spring training when he was really locked in and pitching pretty well, and then through the first start and then into today in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, his first start was pretty good, 5 2/3, 2 runs on 4 hits. And, you know, I was not worried about Kyle Hendricks, you know, from one start to the next. A dud in the opener, and then his last start was very Kyle Hendricks-esque. But what did he say about what the difference was between the two starts? Usually Hendricks has some pretty good insight as to what went wrong and why things went better from start to start.
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing after that first start was, you know, I know both teams were playing in those conditions, but clearly for a guy like Hendricks, you know, it is going to be tough to execute his pitches in that kind of weather. I mean, it was super cold. It was windy. You know, those aren't good for pitchers that are really relying on feel, and that's obviously right up Hendricks' alley. So I think just the normal circumstances, you know, working between starts, working on his cues and, you know, making sure that mechanically he's where he needs to be. And I don't think anybody, as you said, is surprised that he was able to bounce back. You're really not going to see too many starts like he had opening day. So, you know, I think it's good that it kind of just showed that, you know, it looks like that was just an opening day one-off, and, you know, he's back being locked in and being the kind of pitcher they need him to be.
We thank you for joining us, Megan. But before we let you go, we are asking you this question. We were discussing this last segment. After what the Dodgers did on ring day, where they had each player to accept his ring after an introduction by their boyhood idol. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was a spectacular idea and so well done by the Dodgers. So should you have been a World Series winner with the Cubs, say, and you had a chance to choose someone to introduce you on the video board and virtually, however it was going to be done, to accept your World Series ring, Megan Montemurro, who would you choose to be that presenter?
I mean, I think this feels pretty obvious, but as someone who was a kid in the 90s and loved basketball growing up and, you know, wore number 23 playing basketball, I mean, I would have to go with Michael Jordan. I don't know if anything would be cooler than that, you know, a world champion, obviously himself, to introduce you to receive your own ring. I mean, that would be pretty cool.
Okay, that's great. I thought you were going to go with Augie Ojeda, but I think that's a very respectable choice you made, Megan. Thanks
Amen.
For joining us. Thank you for joining us, Megan.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right,
bye.
Megan Montemurro of the Tribune. Covers the Cubs, as we're discussing here. We're going to take a break, and then we will discuss, well, I don't know what we'll discuss, but I do know that what Mark heard will be our next segment, and it covers, it has covered anything, everything, and led us to all sorts of sane and insane places. So I would expect more of the same, Mark. Is my confidence going to be
yak and yak?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
It's time for What Mark Heard on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
Indeed. Well, we just have to look at our text line. As I like this suggestion, though, Mark, we're just asking people who they would introduce, who would they have present them at a ring ceremony. 312 texter, I'd want Lee Elia and have him say my effing ass. There you go. All right, this is What Mark Heard, our near award-winning segment. So, Mark, what did you heard this week?
Well, Zach LaVine scored 50 points last night, so we're getting right up to the minute audio on things that I have heard. What did Zach LaVine think about scoring 50, but the Bulls lose the game last night to the team that they played against?
Well, this was a great opportunity. You know, we've been playing really good. And, you know, we played a really, really good half. It just sucks, man, when you have a opportunity like that to win. So, you know, obviously I'd much rather take the win right now.
Sucking.
They played against Atlanta, and I thought it was important that we heard the word sucks on Saturday Suckage from Zach LaVine. So I guess he said the right thing, that 50 points is pretty shallow if your team doesn't win. I mean, it's really bad if your team doesn't win, especially at Atlanta.
Yeah, that's, and you got Trae Young all over. Actually, you got Gallinari'd. I mean, Lauri Markkanen could not have been pantsed any worse. Gallinari was just a force. When that was a game where you would have expected Markkanen to okay, it's not just Zach. It can't be just Zach, but it is going to be just Zach and some Vucevic. And I know that there's going to be, there's temptation to look back on this. Oh, this is the Michael Jordan thing where everybody stands around and just watches what he does as he scores 25 straight points. But there were opportunities. And no, if nothing else, you're allowed to play defense. Someone should tell Markkanen that.
Yeah, and it was, it looked like a very real point scoring flurry that he was on. Because, and I say real because the Bulls got their biggest lead while LaVine was doing that. So it wasn't like at, you know, wasn't the classic hollow point scoring that sometimes LaVine had been accused of in the past. And then even, and then a magical thing that happens too when you're that open, or excuse me, when you're that hot driving to the basket or shooting from the outside, you are going to find guys wide open. And it seemed to me that Zach LaVine was going out of his way, even when he was in like heat check territory, he was passing the ball because he's like, oh, this is cool, I can do this now too because we're about winning. So I see like this new player, a guy who maybe in the first half trying to make the All-Star team, he was all about scoring 50 points, but now he's all about winning. And I don't know if you caught this last night during the game too, Steve, but I thought it was cool that Zach LaVine had the dried erase board out during the timeout, and he was showing like Vucevic some things and some of the other guys like, hey, this is where I'm going to get you the basketball. Hey, you'll be open when I do this. And then the like very real communication that was going on between those two. So I thought that that was like everything was like shaping up as like an excellent template game. And then it all went bad.
Yes, it did. I think that that shows the student that LaVine is, and I do believe he does want to win. I do believe he'd trade all that, even though he made sure he knew that everybody knew he had every number in the 40s, and now he had a new level to get to, and that was it last night when he got 50. But I do think that there's that's the foundation for it, and you know, I guess I'll believe that until shown otherwise, and I. He just needed some help. He can't have Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White doing what they did and being such liabilities.
All right, let's move on here to another guy that we talked about earlier in the show, and that is Yermin Mercedes. He was on the radio station. He was on the I have to start writing this show down. Let's just say the Danny Parkins, Matt Spiegel show. He was on that show, our afternoon show. And this is the question. The question is attached to it, but it's a question that I'm still asking, and I don't know if I have an answer to, but we'll see if Mercedes has the answer to this key question.
Why do you think it took this long for you to make your big league debut?
I mean, for real, I didn't know. Maybe my other team don't give me the opportunity, but I just keep grinding, keep working hard, because I thought one day I'll be here in the majors, but it's too long. Because I thought my other teams that not give it the opportunity, they give it to me. But it doesn't matter because I never give up. Just keeping working. Right now, I'm here in the majors.
Well, and even the White Sox have, to some degree, gotten lucky that they are the team being credited with this, because as Scott Merkin correctly pointed out earlier, he's probably not on this roster if the Sox don't have the injury issues that they have. So all the praise being heaped on the White Sox is a little shallow to me, because even the White Sox had really overlooked what might be something surprising. And this is a serious question for you, Steve. Do you think that part of the reason is very simply, is body type? That he hasn't had the opportunity because he is a large man who appears to be, well, out of shape. Do you think that that's what it is?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And I think there's two things there. Is the body type, which is, I mean, remember Hector Villanueva?
Yeah.
Right? That's, yeah. Okay, so there's a lot. Seems like a more outsized version of that size. Plus, what's your investment? And I think that has a lot to do with the way teams look at players, evaluate them, what can they become, what's our investment so far, and that was minimal compared to other players they had invested in, and age had something to do with it as well.
Yeah.
It's not the 28's old, but it's old compared to the 23-year-olds they got, 24-year-olds that they're looking at. And you know, with Scott's point that without Eloy's injury, the Yerminator doesn't get to unite Yermination, but also we're finding out more about that Vaughn kid, aren't we?
Yeah.
And Tony La Russa was on with Bruce Levine and David Haw earlier this morning on Inside the Clubhouse. Oh. During that interview, he talked about how Andrew Vaughn right now, playing left field out of nowhere, really, is already above average fielder. And he's going to get better because he wants to work at it. They've taken an athlete and somebody with a sense of determination, and they put him in that situation, and La Russa talked him up the way La Russa talked up other players that he has worked with, that he has seen. Skip Schumacher was one of them. We're going to make an outfielder a second baseman, but he wanted to make it work, and that's the way it is. So this is really an opportunity for two players, two spots, that you're getting. The Sox are getting to see what might be, and that can only lead to more flexibility. But to your original point, I do think, don't you think, his size, the way he looked, that had worked against him at every level, even though he had a 1.4 whatever, well over 1,400 OPS plus with the White Sands Pupfish. We've been trying to get in touch with the White Sands Pupfish, by the way, but we've not had any success. But he's had that swing, and in a league that's all about offense, you'd think that would be an attractive thing at some point before something, an accident necessitated his being put in this position. Don't you look at the body and go, yeah, that's why he was held back?
Yeah, I mean, and there are, like, I can give you a modern-day comp right now. Another guy who is, how about Daniel Vogelback? That dude, massive. Pablo Sandoval, the panda, the big boy. You know what I mean? Like, and there's...
What about
Prince Fielder, woo! Great big fat.
Well, there was, but Prince Fielder had he had the legacy thing working for him too,
and he was a first round pick.
Yeah, and a lot of the guys were Daniel Vogelbach was what, a first baseman, and every first base is pretty well taken, and that's part of the problem. Your mean Mercedes was the body type and what the team in it had invested in him was, I think, two big components of why he moved around. But credit to his sticking with it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's move on to the one and only Hawk Harrelson. The Hawk was on the score with Mullin Hall. And this is for levity and fun. And a question that has not been answered. Take a listen to Hawk Harrelson with Mullin Hall.
It doesn't take a Rolls Royce long to get warm. And that's what Tony is. He's a Rolls Royce of managers. There's no doubt about it. You know, he's only been fired one time, in his career. And you're talking to the fired, But I didn't fire him because he was a bad manager. There was some other reason, but Tony and I both will take that reason to the grave with us.
Ooh.
And you're talking to the fire.
So I guess I never, like, I knew that everybody knows by now that Hawk Harrelson fired Tony La Russa. The Hawk Harrelson was a general manager, and we all know that certainly looks like a mistake, but I never knew that there was some apparent, it sounds like, personal reason that Tony La Russa was canned.
I've not heard. I don't know. I've not looked, talked, this, not gone fishing for that. But you're right. I hadn't realized it was, I just thought, oh, they're playing bad. We got to do this.
Right.
we got to make this move. And Hawk goes to Chairman Reinsdorf, and the chairman says, well, I have to let my GM be the GM, and he's got to do what he's got to do, and then that's the only way I can evaluate him. So that's the way that management was set up. So I don't know. Well,
it's good hearing Hawk, though. That was really, yeah. I was like, I got to find a Hawk cut, just because when Hawk's on, you got to listen to Hawk. You're going to get a swear word. You're going to get a little hate over the modern game. He's not. Do you, by the way, he said that, and this is no surprise, and I know a lot of people who agree with Hawk, he hates the three-batter rule for the bullpen. I love the three-batter rule. I love the challenge that it creates for the manager in terms of having to think ahead and then just kind of letting a reliever walk that tightrope. I love it. Do you like that or no?
No, I don't. I just think that and the idea that they're going to end the minor leagues and it may come to the major leagues banning the shift, I think what you've done is you've legislated against good analysis. You've legislated against brains. A shift shows a bit of it shows the wisdom of how you interpret the data, and it gives your team a chance to win. And now you're legislating against smart teams, so you're making the bottom teams better. You're dragging them up by the way the old Reverend Watkins cut on the score used to be. The Cubs don't need to get better. Everybody else just needs to get worse. So they're trying to make good teams and smart teams worse and dumber. I think that's horrible. And three, baseball doesn't realize the problem's intrinsic. It cannot get away from its problem. Limiting relievers into a game does nothing. It will help nothing. It will not speed up the game. It's not the pace of play. It's the action in the play. And there's a lack of action because it's been the data provides information and proof and that it's you got to swing for the fences. Home runs are it, and three true outcomes are it. Work a pitching staff and get to the bullpen in the fifth inning, and all those things are true. Baseball can't. This is a stupid rule, the three reliever rule. It's a three batter rule for a reliever. I think it's just stupid because it's not going to solve anything.
Well, guess what, Steve? You and I are going to have to agree to disagree. Agree to disagree. That's what's happened right here. Yep.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll come back with more of what Mark heard. And to a texter, now maybe somebody can help me here because I thought, indeed, like the 224 texter says, the White Sands Pupfish, one of the many stops for a year mean Mercedes, folded in 2019. Perhaps they perhaps that's why they haven't gotten back to you. # Suckage. And yet on the
is that right?
White Sand. Well, yeah, but on the White Sands Pupfish.
Sucking.
On the White Sands Pupfish website, there was a 2021 schedule that included them taking on a team from Tucson and Roswell. So any place that they set off. They practice setting off A-bombs and H-bombs, and any place that aliens might have landed apparently are in this mountain division, this mountain league, south division, whatever it is. There was a 2021 schedule featuring the pupfish that I saw online, so I wanted to pursue that. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm living in an alternate universe. But again, the WB Club is certainly in evidence if they folded in 2019. That's suckage in the WB Club.
Well, I'm going to blame you and Trash Panda because you guys were talking about that in the email thread, were you not?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Trash Panda is still a better nickname than Pupfish. I know what a Pupfish is now. I looked that up, but Trash Panda's better. And if we get to it in Wegner next hour, after we talk to Hub at the top of the hour, there seems to be a challenger for the love of Trash Panda as a name and as a logo and as an image for a team. But that's for another segment. Right now, we need to get to a break and then come back with more of what Mark heard. Saturday Suckage, here on The Score.
And big, come on.
For the past 15 minutes now, you've been droning on about names. Toby Wong. Toby Chung, Charlie Chan.
It's not me. I'm here and not there. And
Yeah.
Toby, who the f*** is Toby?
I thought we were doing What Mark Heard, but apparently we have a phone call. Is that right, Trash Panda?
We do. And can you guys guess who it is?
I just say, as we go to the Score listener line powered by BetQL, bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit the BetQL.com. I would bet it's Toby.
Hey guys, Bill, first time, long time.
You're right.
I'll hang up and listen for my answer.
Listen to all that energy, man.
Yeah, what are you doing with all that energy? Good shot of Sativa, right?
How's it going? Yeah, exactly. For the WB Club, how did no one guess Corey Blunt?
Oh, man, that's so good.
Did anyone even text in? That's my guess.
No, nobody even texted that in. We were just going to get over the Jack Haley text for that.
That's why you need me.
Yep. We do, and now we have you. So, what's on your mind?
Hey, I had
Toby?
Somebody tweet me the other. I had somebody tweet me the other day, thinking that like I really was, since we do the wake and bake thing, that somehow I really was an expert in these kinds of things. When in fact, I'm kind of a fraud. But when one goes to a dispensary, is there a vape or a pen or a weed that one can get that you get the high, but you're not as hungry?
I think that's kind of a personal thing. Like, if weed makes you hungry, I think it just makes you hungry.
There's nothing to do about that. It is what it is.
I think it's a personal thing. Yeah, I think that's like a biological thing.
That's why the Girl Scouts always set up a table in front of a dispensary and sell you Girl Scout cookies.
Genius.
Famously, yeah.
I never thought of that. Wow.
Sure, they've done that. That's what you do. That's a smart, enterprising youth of America. That's the way it works. And these challenging times.
Hey, you know what I like about what Mark heard?
Toby, you're our audience today.
Well, you're hijacking my segment, so you better make it.
In honor. Mark hears a lot. And then he tells me what he heard. And then, you know what I do sometimes? I tell people I heard that stuff.
Ooh.
See?
So you plagiarize Mark's thoughts. You hijack.
Yeah,
you're not just hijacking his segment. You're hijacking his thoughts, claiming it as your own.
Hey, does what Mark heard have anything to do with the herd immunity? I always wondered that, too.
I'm
100%. Yep. Yeah. That is it. It's about herd immunity. Have you guys all gotten your shots while we're talking about this? Let's talk about shots. How we doing?
Newly.
Guys?
Newly.
Really?
Newly, yes. Since
you
the last time we talked. Yeah.
All right. Then how did you feel after the second shot?
I got the one shot deal. I got the one shot.
Oh, you got the one shot.
Oh.
Johnson.
I don't know if I can say how it was. Literally.
You can. Were you sick?
Can I say
afterwards?
Just a little prick?
Yeah, that's a way to describe the
that's
jab
okay.
they give you.
Yeah, it was just a little prick.
Yep, that's it.
That's it.
And,
hey, that's all right.
As if you
Steve.
Were, yeah, I indeed got jabbed a second time. We're well past that 14-day incubation inoculation period, and so as I would feel as vaccinated as inoculated as I could be. I celebrated that following Friday with had pizza with Brandon and Emily, and we did I wasn't going to do that. We spent many months. I said we could lose our Jewish card, but we're not doing food when we get together. We're just going to see each other with masks on, and then finally we could do food. So we did.
How do you feel after the second shot? I'm asking this because I'm getting my second shot at the end of the month, and I want to know if I'm going to be sick.
The only reaction I had was feeling a lot of fatigue, and I couldn't tell if it was the response to the shot or what they injected in me, or simply a relief from the stress that had all built up, and now it was the second one was finally done. So I don't know what. What did you feel the second time, Toby? Did it once.
So the next day, because I pretty much just went home and went to sleep. And then the next day, I was achy, and I had one real quick wave of nausea, and that was about it. That was about it.
But fortunately, there's various strains that are able to get you through those many side effects.
Actually, yes. Honestly, the nausea, that is what helped for sure. And then, then it was done, and I didn't come back. So, see.
Yeah, Wake and Bake Club is here for you. That we're all
absolutely.
Sorts of medically sound thoughts and practices. That's what we do.
Yeah, I have a. I have a Jeopardy question for you guys. Do you guys watch Jeopardy?
What is
not yes. when Aaron Rodgers is hosting?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Answer,
I know.
It was a great answer. That was tremendous.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
so you've seen you've seen before and after, right?
What?
Before and
the
after
category,
the category.
Before and after.
Oh, I thought you like a movie. Like have you seen
so
before
it's,
and after the movie?
You know the first half and second half. If you don't get it, it's not going to work. But
yeah,
so it's a Cubs reliever that is also a score trash panda.
This is a trivia question?
Yes.
Wait, score reliever that is
overlap.
Also a...
So it's an overlap. So the first name is...
Oh, so a Terry Adams
the last name. Yes.
Okay.
See, there you go.
I'll take end of segment for 500, Alex.
Way to kill a segment, Toby.
I'll take.
Okay.
Trying to help.
Well, I appreciate
awesome,
you auditioning
Toby.
For Jeopardy on our show. You can go back to the podcast, get it and snip it and send it along to the producers and they'll see whether they want to choose you, a regular on the Wake and Bake Club.
I get a bounce back
or that
when I do
quarterback
that.
For the Green Bay Packers. So you let us know how that turns out for you.
Yeah, it's all right.
Love you, Toby. Love you to death.
Oh, love you guys.
Thanks, Toby.
Keep it up. Herd immunity. What
yes,
Mark Heard.
What Mark Heard immunity.
It.
So we're going to do that.
Yes, there
All
you
right.
go.
Carry on. Thanks, Toby. Okay, Mark.
Are we carrying on here?
I guess. We
All right.
there has to be.
Hey, real quick. So, so since you guys are going to be vaccinated, and Steve is vaccinated now, how come, number one, your lazy butt isn't in the studio right now? I mean, that's just unacceptable. Because you can come in now, right?
I don't know what we're allowed to do. I don't know what that building is. You're still at risk. All the vaccine does is prevent the worst reaction to this. If you catch it, you can still catch the virus.
Well, I've been reading
it will just prevent you from dying.
I've been reading the more research, and they're saying it's actually also pretty effective at not. It's not 100%. But it's actually proven to be effective at preventing, you know, getting the virus.
Well, I'm pretty effective by not coming into the studio. So I think it's pretty effective that way.
Yeah, you know, and plus there's like this safety app you have to log on to now. That's what's kept me out. Like I came in once, but then now there's this safety app I keep seeing on our company
really?
Email. I'm like, I don't want to do all that. I'll just do the show from home.
That takes... 5 seconds.
Well, guess
it's
what?
Five seconds will never get
I don't have time, okay? I got a lot going on in my life.
Well, that would have been really great in the Les voice. Robert's voice.
You know, a lot of people think that the shot is bogus. Actually, Les got the shot. Les is inoculated.
Good
he
for
told
him.
Me that yesterday. Yeah, had Les on. He got the shot. I would have taken him for somebody who would have been like, Moderna is a fraud. I'm loyal to Johnson & Johnson. Forget about the Moderna. Like, he'd have a loyalty to Johnson & Johnson because it's a brand name. You know, but I've never heard of Moderna. People think that that's a shot. It's not going to, I repeat, it won't protect you.
I love this from our friend, NBC Sports Chicago Bulls. Multiple platform personality Casey Johnson. Casey and his wife went to their assigned slot and they had signed up. They were going to get the vaccine, and he walks up and it was the one-shot deal. So he walks up to the podium or the whoever was at the computer and says, Johnson & Johnson here for Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yep, that's it. All right, we're going to take a break then, and we're going to discuss the Bears, as painful as it is. We're not inoculated against whatever stupidity the Bears are going to bring us. But Hub Arkish has talked about, written about, what Ryan Pace can do, has done in the draft, and why he doesn't think the Bears will suck the way some of us do. They doesn't have that fear. So we will talk with him about that after this. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.